It is time for Tim, Luke, and Greg Straub, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. You can find them on the web at tqag.com. That is Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. And they join us here on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Well, good morning.
So how are things this September 1st in the sunny state of Florida?
My God, it's hard to believe it's September already.
Well, yes.
I've been talking about this with people for the past week. It's hard to believe it's September 1st because we have the Kentucky Derby coming up, which is normally right. We have the Masters Golf Tournament, which is coming up, which is normally at the beginning. Everything's just so discombobulated.
I know. It's bizarre.
Well, anyway. So what's on your guys' minds this morning?
Well, let's see. Tim sent me a very interesting thing about
rock and roll posters.
When we first started selling things on eBay back in the, I think it was 95 is when we actually started, which was not too long after eBay really became eBay as we know it today. And auction houses were selling posters. The posters from the 60s and 70s for rock posters, they were rock stars of themselves. They were selling like for fortunes. And then over the years, with the advent of the World Wide Web, then the market naturally started to... They started coming out of the woodwork, and the prices started falling. And they haven't really recovered all that much, except those few that have stood the test of time, which is like any collectible. And Heritage had a very successful sale where they actually had a couple of posters that broke world records for when one of them was the Beatles, which sold for $137,500. So it was from the Shea Stadium, their famous Shea Stadium
concert. Yeah.
So, but one of the things that I found interesting in the article was not so much how much it sold for, but in looking at the poster, how much the seats were selling for. The reserve seats in 1966 for the Beatles poster at Shea Stadium were a whopping $4.50, $5, and $5.75, which must have been the premium seat at that point in time.
Now you move the decimal point over 2 points. So it's like 400, 500.
Well, you know, you mentioned that, and I can remember going to Roosevelt Stadium in New York City and seeing Stevie Wonder, Eddie Kendricks, and the OJs for $5.
Yeah.
Well, now the tickets, one of the most expensive rock tickets out there is, any ideas?
I have no idea. I'm so out of touch with that.
The Rolling Stones, $624.
Yeah,
I would have figured that because when Cat Stevens made a tour in the United States, I was going to buy a pair of tickets because I love Cat Stevens, and they were sold out instantaneously. But the two tickets would have cost me together almost $700. Yeah, $300 and some odd dollars a ticket.
Far cry from $5.75, huh?
Well, actually, back then, with the amount of money I made, it was hard enough for me to scrape that $5 together. When you added the wine, the beer, and the pot together, it was an expensive night out.
Right. That's true.
I remember we went in a Chevy van that was made to look up like it had cow horns on the front and everything like that. And God, I don't know how he made it down to New York and back alive.
Well,
those were the days.
The the rock posters from that time period were usually quite flashy. This one was just very plain, mundane. And according to the article, it looked like it was just kind of thrown together at the last minute as a publicity, just to publicize the concert. It was a photograph and some text. But a lot of the other ones from the posters from that time period, from the Grateful Dead, they were very...
And Jimi Hendrix, too.
Yeah, all the psychedelic posters. And they're still selling well, but and some of those actually did bring some very good money. But I just remember the heyday of, and I'm sure you do too, Marshall, the heyday of the psychedelic rock posters. I mean, a lot of these ended up being covers for their albums.
Oh, so. You mentioned Jefferson Starship blows against the Empire, which unless you're a Jefferson Starship fan, you're really not really aware of the album. But it was about a bunch of hippies taking over a starship and going out and starting a new life. Those posters and everything that came with that LP, and just like the early Grateful Dead LPs, it's the same thing. They're worth big time bucks.
Well, to give the value, so one of the Grateful Dead posters, which was the first printing, it sold for $16,250 with an estimate. It was estimated at $1,000 to $2,000. And it's the original first printing. So that was one of the highlights of that sale. And the second one was the Jimi Hendrix Experience, which I think sold for about $15,000. So they do bring some good money.
Well, and those are the ticket prices for Cher's fifth retirement concert. I mean, it cost you that much to see Cher.
Well, I have to laugh because I'm not amongst the potheads and dopeheads who used to follow. I used to travel with those people, but a lot of those people became very wealthy and famous, and that's why they buy those things at those prices to kind of look back and just relive their youth a little bit.
Yeah, well, the ones that are really the most sought after, though, still today, are the ones that from the Fillmore East, because the Fillmore East was where the scene was happening back then, and they bring more than the concert posters from other venues, but the Fillmore East was the mecca for rock and roll and psychedelic advertisement for these bands, and I just remember growing up seeing these things and thinking, they're like so out of my realm, but they were so visually spectacular, and they still are.
And it's also buyer beware, because there are a lot of reproductions that are in the marketplace. So that is what affected some of the market
definitely
over time, is that they did have a lot of reproductions that started to show up. And you have to know the difference.
Now, what about the disco era with Studio 56, the pictures that were taken inside of Studio 54? Studio 54. Explain to me, if you have a picture that you can authenticate with some of the people in it, are those worth any amount of money?
I have seen them, some of it. I guess it depends on who the celebrity is, first.
Correct.
And what the picture represents. I mean, if it actually shows somebody snorting cocaine, I suppose that would probably be worth more than somebody who's just grooving on the dance floor, as they say.
Well,
but if it's also some of the regulars, like Andy Warhol and Liza Minnelli and, and some of the other, there were so many people that were there, that there's that pop culture side of it as well. So it's not just about being Studio 54. Now, if you have Studio 56, I don't know. That may be a different thing. But Studio 54, that has more of a reputation.
I just think if you have a picture of somebody snorting cocaine or any of the couples that used to hang out there, that sooner or later, if you've got them, they'd be worth something. But also, pictures and posters, if they're personalized with signatures, they're worth a lot more money, aren't they? But unless they're actually signed to somebody by name, right?
Well, yeah. that depends. But yes, I mean, for the most part, it just depends, because if you're not Jill or if you're not Bob, then why would you want that poster? Yeah. So if it's just a signature, that could have potentially more money.
I tell you, it's just amazing the things that you have to consider when you're looking out there in the market for posters and movie posters. Are they as popular as rock posters?
Oh, that's a great question. And there was a time I would have said yes. Now the movie poster market is, I think, probably one of the softest graphics industry, because...
Well, depending on genre, too.
Yeah, well, it does. It does depend on the genre. But, you know, we've seen the market for movie posters since the late 90s go from the mountaintop down to the valley. And it hasn't so much.
As it comes back, I mean, it used to be they would be sold at Christie's and Sotheby's, and they would have their own catalogs. Now it's on eBay, and they don't show up as often. So
the one that comes to my mind is when they renamed the Star Wars movie, and the original posters went out with what was it, Revenge of the of whatever, and they changed that. And I understand those posters that if you had one of the ones that before it was changed, you had something that was worth something.
Right. Well, and the reason is that it's a limited quantity, and it's also a huge desirability, because you have a number of people who are looking to collect those. If you have some of the earlier movies, there's not as big of desirability, because the movie fans, you know, may not remember those early some of the early titles. But then when you get into genres, like some of the Westerns, the people who collect Western memorabilia, like the Western posters, you get into the horror or the, you know, the early, you know, Dracula and Frankenstein and those types of things. And then you get into the science fiction, because then people who collect science sci-fi stuff, comics, and go to Comic-Con, they love those comics. So the movie posters can go up and down depending on the genre, and that's why I said that at the beginning, because it really would depend on that.
And one of the other markets that has started from the movie posters industry, and that is the European market for the movies that were released in Europe, especially like some of the Westerns and the spaghetti Westerns. And the posters are not in English, obviously. They're all in whatever language the country the movie premiered at. And that's become in its own collecting genre, where people just collect certain, you know, like French movies or American movies that were released in France.
Or the Italian.
Or the Italian.
It's just an amazing world. One day I'm going to have to sit down with you guys and figure out how the hell you all got involved in this. No, really, I've never really asked you that question, and there's not enough time now.
A couple of bottles of wine, and we'll go through that. But, you know, also on the poster realm, I was just doing an appraisal, and there's also travel posters, which are also very desirable. So with that, and that goes into what we then start collecting, is you get food and the vices and wine and all different types of other things. But there's a lot of people that have houses that they love the travel posters, because it's been places that they've been, or it depicts just the halcyon days of travel, which harken back to an era that we may never get back to.
Harkens back to an era where Americans could travel abroad.
Yeah.
Without masks.
We can't even go abroad with masks now. Most of the countries.
No, I know.
banned us. Because we're a third world, you know what, whole country. Oh, yes. Gosh. Well, on that rather humorous note, not really humorous, I will speak to you guys next week and be prepared for the question of how did this whole adventure for you guys start? Be prepared for that question.
Boy. That's it. Sure. Do you have this will be an extended show then.
That's right.
Hey, happy September.
You too, guys. Have a good day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You'll find them at tqag.com on the web.